You're listening to Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, painting the town white. Yeah, but first, you know, the immune system is a complex beast with many parts that all need to work together to keep you well. And understanding how this system all fits together is not very easy. Our next guest has identified a gene that helps control the way our bodies fight off disease. He says this finding may have important implications for vaccine research and for the treatment of autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis. The research is reported in this week's journal Science. Shane Crotty is professor in the Vaccine Discovery Division at the La Jolla Institute for Allergy and Immunology in La Jolla, California. He joins us by phone. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. Thanks.
Hi. Is it possible to succinctly describe our immune system and how it works?
Next question. I'm part of a group that includes some other scientists who are non-immunologists, and we'll talk to each other about our scientists, and they always complain about the immunology as being so complicated that it's tough to follow. So I don't think you can explain how the whole immune system works succinctly, but in terms of I think vaccines, which, I'm a vaccine guy. I'm interested in vaccines. And it's because, you know, they're powerful medicine. They save millions of lives a year.
Yeah.
And at least for this aspect of how the immune system works, really almost all vaccines work by protective antibodies. Okay, so your immune system can do a lot of different things, but one of those things is make antibodies. And what we know is, well, we've got about 25 different human vaccines, okay, and about 23 of them work by protective antibodies.
What are protective antibodies?
Your immune system's job is to protect you from infectious diseases, and so what antibodies will do is that if you get infected with, say, the flu, your body makes antibodies that will bind to those flu viruses, and effectively by just binding to the virus and just completely covering it in antibody, it kills the virus or stops it from doing anything. And your body will do that for whatever virus or bacteria you get infected with, basically.
Mm-hmm. And so you have to have the body to recognize the virus and then to attack it.
Yes.
That's the whole ball of wax.
Succinctly, yes.
Your work involves finding a gene that helps this process, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So we want to make new vaccines, right? And we just haven't been very good at it.
Yeah.
And why? Well, vaccine development is just, it's always been a very trial and error process. It really hasn't been very much driven by our knowledge of the immune system. My lab and certainly many others have been trying to fill those gaps. And so what we've said is, okay, well, you know, what do you want? You want protective antibodies. So, well, how do you get those? Well, you need helper T cells, which are also called CD4 T cells, or I might just call them helper cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you say, okay, so then what do you need those helper T cells to do? Or which helper T cells do you need? And so what's been known is that there are like four different kinds of helper T cells, okay, or four flavors of helper T cells. And each of these they're specialized for different functions. So these helper T cells are very powerful regulators of the immune system. Your immune system can do many different things, and each of these four types of helper T cells is sort of specialized for controlling different parts. And the problem was, none of these four known types of helper T cells, these four flavors, none of those are specialized for helping get antibody responses. And if you're somebody like me who's interested in vaccines, where you're like, well, I want to know how to get antibody responses, so what's going on here? And so either all four kinds of these cells, they can all do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or there was a fifth type, and we were missing something. And so that's sort of where we've been stuck for probably about 10 years with a bunch of fighting back and forth about, you know, what might be right. And, you know, a Nobel Prize winner once said, you know, that there are two kinds of scientists. There are lumpers and there are dividers. So the lumpers try and come up with a theory of everything, right, connect everything together, and dividers try and break everything down and figure out, well, what's specialized to exactly do what. And so there was a lot of that argument going on. And so we said, well, look, if there really is this fifth kind, then there should be a gene, a single gene, that turns on that type of CD4. And we said that because, well, that's the way it was for the other four types. So we know there are these other four types, and one of these really fascinating things about the immune system is that for each of those other four types, there's a master gene, a master regulator gene is what we call them.
Right. So you're looking for that gene for the fifth time.
Right.
And you found
and so
it.
That's what we found.
You found it. And that... How did you know that that's – how do you know that you found it? Do you turn it on and watch it make the parts that you need?
Exactly. You know, that's why you do experiments. We, in fact, had multiple guesses for what might be the gene, and so, but yeah. We had to do experiments to figure out which one was the right one. And we knew when we found the right one because if we turn on that gene, now all of a sudden all of those helper cells become that fifth type, that kind that helps you get – a good antibody response. And so now if we did that in the animal, all of a sudden we got a great antibody response and all the helper cells were of this one kind. And so that was sort of the on switch, right? That mm-hmm. gene was the on switch for this specialized cell type. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you turn on that one gene and then that one gene basically controls a program, okay? And so it will basically, you turn on that one gene and then it'll go and activate all of the specialized functions that that cell has to do.
Right. Every good side also has a bad side. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Right? So if you found something that turned on this gene, you must have found something that turned it off, right?
So that's one of the things we really got quite excited about in the work was that basically we also found effectively the opposite gene. There's a gene that could turn the whole thing off, and then we found a gene that could turn this specific type of cell off. And what was really nice about that was by studying that process, we could actually show that this was important, that this fifth type, it didn't just happen to be in the right place at the right time. You really have to have that type to get a good antibody response because if we flip this off switch, if we forcibly turn on this off switch gene, or in fact what we just did was we just added that gene so that it was just on, gene was present all the time, so then you had this off switch. Now you no longer got these helper cells, and you no longer got an antibody response, and so when we, for example, gave a mouse a virus infection, now they no longer made antibodies to the virus.
Uh-huh.
And so by doing so, we could show, okay, you absolutely have to have this kind of cell. And so, therefore, that the gene that turns, the gene you have to turn on to get those cells, now we know that that's important for the kind of vaccine design we do.
Well, now that you have the gene, you know which one to turn it on, can you make more powerful vaccines?
We think so. I mean, so, what I would say is that, it took us 4 years to do these experiments, and the immune system is certainly a very complex network, so it'll certainly take that long or longer, to make medical applications. But we really do, we're quite convinced that this is a central thing we needed to know along the path. If we're gonna switch from this situation where we've been doing, truly trial and error vaccine design to something that's a more rational vaccine design or more sort of an engineering mm-hmm. project, this is a key thing we needed to know so that this wasn't a black box.
Mm-hmm. Can you make use of the other gene that turns it off, too?
Yeah, and so, in fact, I'm a vaccine guy, and so, as a result, I generally am trying to do experiments or design things to where you get a really strong immune response. But there are just as many people who study autoimmune diseases and where you want to turn the immune system off. And that's basically
like arthritis, things like that.
Right, arthritis. So, your immune system's job is to protect you against infectious diseases, to recognize and attack infections. But as we were saying, the immune system is very complex and frankly, sometimes it gets confused and the immune system attacks your body and that's an autoimmune disease. And so in that case, your immune system is making antibodies. Instead of making antibodies against the flu, right, your body's making antibodies against itself and causing damage. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's the kind of case where you get rheumatoid arthritis or certain other autoimmune diseases. And so in those cases, you want to be able to turn the immune system off. And in fact, my collaborator at Yale, Joe Kraft, I mean, his specialty is really rheumatoid arthritis, and that's how he got into this whole problem, was really the whole flip side of the coin. Sometimes we want to be able to turn on antibody production, and sometimes you really want to be able to turn it off.
And so now you can do both of it.
Yep. Piece of cake.
Hey, what's 4 years? But so does that mean that there's a whole that you think you've identified all the genes here? You said you got five of them. Is that a complete thing? Is that the set? We need a six pack. I mean, you know, where are we with this?
Yeah, it's a great question, and really, to some extent, it comes back to these lumpers and dividers. You know, people are certainly constantly proposing there are additional subsets or types or flavors, and other people were saying, no, that's not really a different kind. That's the same as this other kind. It's just kind of tweaked, you know, and it has a little bit of a different function. There's certainly no gaping holes left. This one had been a big question because, you know, we know making antibodies is a big part of what the immune system does, and there's some helper cell that needed to be involved in that.
All right. So you've closed that hole. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us, and good luck to you.
Thanks, Ira.
You're welcome. Shane Crotty, professor in the Vaccine Discovery Division at the La Jolla Institute for Allergy and Immunology. Of course, that's in La Jolla, California. We're going to take a break, come back, and switch from the body to a little bit of material science. Some guest we had about over almost a dozen years ago with an update on his research about using fiber optics. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR News.